You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
Over the course of The Dan Nichols Show, there have been some improbable stories I have had the good fortune of telling. Quite recently, Flip Vanamarva, who went from 152-kilogram retired rugby player heading hurtling towards cardiac arrest to becoming an Ironman finisher, now three times. It's a great and uplifting story. But it's not nearly as surprising as the one we get to tell today, because returning to the show, a great friend of mine, somebody who is one of the funniest people in South Africa, one of the funniest people I've ever met, and generally one of the least athletic figures I know, joins me on the show as a comrades finisher. David Levinson, I would never have imagined I would have introduced you as such.
So I would never have imagined that finishing the comrades gets you on the Dan Nichols Show. It's such a disappointment. I thought at least
it would be the
good
comedy.
Morning South Africa or something. But here we are. How's Flip? That is amazing.
It is amazing. And I think Flip would be very inspired by what you have done, because they well, are.
His story came up on my reels literally after your guy phoned me, which is weird because that means they're listening to us.
Oh, they are indeed.
And I watched a bit of that. Just that. And you don't realize, like, you know my golf,
which is diabolical.
But I get a birdie now and then.
No, you don't.
So then I figure out, what can I do with this body? And it figures out, it turns out I can run. Because I think running is not the most brain's trust. It's just go.
It might not be, but it does require a certain degree of Kenyan-like genetics to be able to do it at this
so
sort of scale.
Where do we begin?
Well, let's find out about the running, first of all, before we decide about why you did this. Was there a running background? Are there a couple of yellowing certificates back at home
are.
From school?
Athlon Boys High, 400-meter record.
Really?
54 seconds, is that fast?
That is indeed. That's Michael Johnson-like.
No, it's not.
Wade Van Niekerk-like.
55 seconds, maybe. But if it was short distances at school, and then maybe in the army, you just have to run. There's no, you have no choice. After leaving at university, I studied human movement sciences. So there was lots of drinking, no running. And then I think when I lived in Cape Town, Bill Taylor got me into the West Coast Running Club as the MC.
So, which doesn't sound like it actually involved a lot of running.
So I MC'd their running awards for like 4 years. And I was so always inspired and in awe of the people that ran. This thing, during COVID, there was an email that I received from, because I'm a park runner, you get a park run email. They couldn't do park runs. So they just said, listen, the comrades is coming up. It's canceled. 2022?
Yep.
You can do a virtual comrades. And you get a medal posted to you. So I'm like, I'm in for this. You could choose to do the entire comrades. You could find a route as long as your Garmin was set. Or you could do a 21, or you could do your 42, 21, or a 10. So I'm like, I'll do the 10. So I was working as I was a manager of a restaurant. Also something not good at. So the manager said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to do the comrades. I'll be back in an hour. So, and it was just crazy because you put your phone on and you know the rituals of the comrades. That the cockcrows, the national anthem, social laws get sung. There's the theme from Chariots of Fire. It's a whole ritual.
Well, they're slightly different rituals. My ritual is wake up, switch on the TV, put some bacon under the grill, and see how much cheddar is won by.
Yeah, the bacon's really, and cheddar's won. Yeah. That's exactly, I watched it from the age of 10. And I learned the names, and I listened to the commentary, and I think already then I had my comedy chops were in, because I'd make fun of the guys coming along.
It is such a cultural fixture for South Africans.
It's crazy.
Comrade Sunday.
We were the first country to put a 12-hour thing. They weren't good at it. I'm not saying SABC were good at it, but they were the first to put on an entire race for the day. Where you'd every time you came past the TV, you'd see, well, who's winning now? And it was Bruce Fordyce back in those days, who I met. Amazing guy. But I ran this virtual comrades, got my medal sent to me in the post, and that was like, I'm a comrades runner. And then a guy came into the bar, a little guy called Robin Eggington, English guy, supports Aston Villa. And this is now 2022, where they weren't doing well. And I'm possibly a Liverpool supporter. So we got chatting. He says, oh, I'm a runner, you know. I run a bit. Terrible accent. So I said, yo, I'll do the comrades one day. He goes, yeah, you must do it, mate. I'll join you. I'll coach you. The 2022. 5 years later. Comrades finisher.
It's the kind of thing that is often said at the end of a longish night with one or two drinks. Yeah. I remember one of my favourite English authors. A guy wrote a book called Round Ireland with a Fridge, where he made a bet while very drunk that he could hitchhike around Ireland with a fridge, and duly did so and went on to have several other ridiculous bets. It's the kind of thing you say at one in the morning with much bravado, but you very, very rarely follow through on. So what made you decide that actually I am going to do the Comrades?
So keep in mind, this is during COVID, which is, it stole my life, my comedy life and my stuff. So I said, Robin would come into the bar every now and then, and I'd speak to him, and he spotted it. He said, as soon as someone asks questions about the Comrades, and Bruce Forda says it in his book as well, if he's going on a park run and someone asks one or two questions, he knows they're going to run it. It's the way it works. So Robin would come in and have a beer. He said, the first thing you got to do is stop doing your park runs. 5Ks is beautiful. It's lovely. Try and do a 10. So then I said, I did the Comrades. He goes, no, David, you didn't do the Comrades. So he said, join my running club. Then I waited and waited until now 2022, 2023 comes, 2024. We're still meeting at the Kyle Army. There's a place called the Country Pub. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You'd probably not go there.
I've seen you post about it.
There's a waitress with a scar, that kind of place. And eventually 2025, he said, come join the running club. So if you want advice for this thing, which don't take it from me, join a running club. Those are the people the same height as you, the same build as you, with the same vibe. So I joined Kyle Army Running Club with Robin, and we started doing time trials on Wednesdays, which is an 8K. And then weirdly enough, I didn't realize that Kyle Army had so many hills. It's literally called Kyle Army Hills. But that's when I started running. And then there's a cheeky guy. As a comedian, I kept quiet. I didn't say funny jokes because we just run. We time it and we have a beer afterwards. And there's a guy there, I won't say his name, Leonard Fernandez. And he chirped one day, he said, you're not a real runner until you've done the Comrades. And that just pissed me off. And if you want to know, that's it.
That was it. It was that moment.
I stood there, I had my beer with my little stomach sticking out, and I looked at this guy and he said, you're not a real runner until you've done the Comrades. And it rang a bell from when I was a kid. If someone told me you can't do something, that's been my whole life. Just, oh, you're only a real runner until you've done the Comrades. I said, Robin, give me something. I'll eat celery. I want to do this thing. And he goes, Dave, if you're serious, then we'll go. So from 2025, I joined the running club, qualified for Comrades at Kaapse Hoop. And then also he says, what are you doing this weekend? I said, I'm running this thing, the Pirates. He goes, Dave, that's the most difficult 21K in the world. I'm like, oh, okay, why didn't you tell me? So I did the Pirates 21K. Kaapse Hoop, he also says, also the most difficult marathon, but qualified for the Comrades by mistake. It was just fun. And then in November, I thought, I don't want to do the Comrades. I'm just happy to qualify. Then, do you know, it's fully subscribed on that Monday, hey? 22,000 tickets sold.
Immediately.
So we're driving back from Kaapse Hoop on that first, on Monday, the 2nd of November, I think. And he said, we can't do the Comrades. It's sold out. But we in the car with no Wi-Fi. We couldn't even apply. But then there's this thing you can go on and do a substitution. But it's on the website. So they had 2,600, no, 4,000 maybe less. But of those, only 2,000 got substitutions. But you pay, you put your credit card details in. And then as soon as you've got the entry, it comes off your credit card. So I see an SMS, insufficient funds. Yeah. So that's the whole journey of it, like just the challenge was set in my head. A bell went off that said, oh, really? That's literally it. There's nothing. I haven't got a story to tell about my grandmother dying or anything. And even if I was not interviewed, I ran with a cap on. I had a beard. I wasn't famous celebrity. I was just, let's just get this thing done. Because I think the worst thing would happen if I'm a comedian. I'm doing the Comrades. And then like 12 hours and 18 minutes later.
I think there were three schools of people watching this.
Where do you fit in?
I will tell you in a moment. There was a school of people who thought, well, it's going to be a reasonably high-profile way for David to go, and we shall say nice things about him when he collapses midway through the race.
And you know that you delete my Google search history. You're on the list.
I come in and get rid of all those Ukrainian websites. Then there was the group of people who thought, well, this is an elaborate piece of comedy from David, and then he's going to pop up on the side of the road waving people on with one of the brands. And then there was a very, very, very small group of people, yourself and probably a handful of others, who thought, yep, I think David can actually do this. And this might surprise you, but I was actually in that final group.
Really?
Because the initial thought is to have a bit of a laugh at your expense. And then I think about who you are, and I think about what you have got through through COVID, through some quite extraordinary challenges, from houses and cars repossessed, and from really, really having some enormously difficult times. And yet I've never, ever heard you complain about it. You might have told me about it. I've never heard you complain about Let's what you've going. Been through. And I've never, ever seen that smile drop away on the outside. I suspect on the inside it's gone a lot. But you've always somehow remained an enormously phlegmatic and, well, I've just got to take it on the chin kind of guy. And when I thought, hang on, here is David Levinson doing the Comrades, initially, no, there's no way. And then, hang on, the physique might need a little tweaking, but there's a very, very strong head on those shoulders. And I thought, yeah, this is something David can do. And I'm enormously proud that you got through it.
Thank you, Dan. As soon as I find out what phlegmatic means, I will reply.
It involves having a really bad throat and you need some medication.
So here's the thing. The thoughts that go through your head, and I'm glad you put the three types of people. So my mom included, she just went, are you going to make it? And Jude's mom, Bianca, also said, Dave, are you sure? Like, you're 56. It's heart attack zone. And there are friends of mine who don't exist anymore from school because of that. Then I thought, no, I go to a running club, I do my 8K, I'm running parkrun under 30 minutes comfortably without even, and that's talking to people, so that's your zone two. So the things were there. Technically, I had it. So what they don't understand is that I knew I was going to do it. I knew I was going to finish, and I knew I was going to get it done. But it's so hard to explain to someone. It's the duck thing. A duck looks so smooth
above on
the
water,
and the bottom, the feet are going. So that was it for me, and I love doubters. I think it spurs you on. So it's same with comedy. Like, you can't teach it. You can watch someone on stage and go, this guy's dying here, but he's got funny bones, or she's got funny bones, and they just keep going. And you're like, that's it. Just keep going. So your mind is 80% of this thing.
Which takes me to the mindset going into this. Night before, morning of, was it sheer terror? Was it excitement? That's was it thing. A, can I change my name and escape? Can Dan be hiding in a portable toilet halfway through?
Well, you wear that cow suit and just get someone else to run for you. So I did it for CHOC, the charity. You can join the charity. There's like 8 charities that you can do. So I ran, not for CHOC, but I raised about 8,000 rand for them. With
well
my
done,
friends.
You.
That was nice. But you talk about that. The running club thing is important. Robin said, I've got a guy that takes us down to a Manzimtoti in a bus. We stay in a B&B. He picks us up in the morning. He takes us to the expo. We get up in the morning. He takes us to the front, to the race. The bus waits there. When you get to Pietermaritzburg, the bus is there with your kit bag on. So that takes a lot of the stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, join the running club, find a way to get there. If I did it all by myself without joining a running club with no ASA license, oh, by the way, Athletics South Africa, you must have a license. I'm an athlete.
You're a licensed athlete, David.
If you read up, I'm an athlete now. So the next time you invite me to your golf day, you have to say athlete. With Simbini, I'm an athlete.
I'm imagining you sliding up to a swank cocktail bar. Hello, I'm David Levinson, the licensed athlete.
So that took a lot of stress off.
Yeah.
Catch the bus, get the guy there. His name is Willie's Tours. Maybe I'll, you know, Willie Hall does tours. That took a lot of stress away. And then also in that shoot, they did it this year. They did 3 different starts. So the guys went off in group 1 at 5 o'clock. At 5:15, group 2 went off. At 5:30, the party group went through. You could see. And there's results. You can see in that group 1, 12 silvers, 18 Robert Mashalis, because there's different medals. And then you see in group 3, 2 silvers. And then 2,000 people with Vic Clapham, which is the under 12. Hours. But the guy even knows. He says, oh, he has the party group. And that changed the whole vibe. And then something that clicked in me was, I saw the thing that says Comrades Marathon Start. And the gun goes off. They sing Social Lozo. We sing the national anthem. The cock crows. That theme from Chariots of Fire is a bit emotional.
Dun, 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 dun,
that's hectic. Because there's no turning back. And that's what I did. As soon as I went under that thing, in my head, I just said, okay, you got to do this. I've got 86 Ks to do. And then you just go. But I think people didn't appreciate my sense of humor much.
I've spent enough time with you to know.
Not 86 kilometers.
That it could probably push people to probably an hour faster than expected as they're trying to get away from this comedian.
They don't know you're a comedian. And I think that's the most, it's sniper comedy. Because it's only funny later on when they're running. So 4 kilometers down the line, they'll get it. So one guy, we're running just outside Berea. The sun's coming up. It's just beautiful. So parts of Natal are just unbelievably beautiful. And I'm pointing out the views and I'm giving a tour. And they're like, buddy, we're running the Comrades. We're not on a tour. I'm like, oh, shut up. So the one guy, I'm running for Kailami Running Club. He goes, Kailami, why aren't you in the, why, he's over there. Kailami, why aren't you in the, winning the race? And I said to him, I'm in front of you, buddy. I just kept running. His whole team starts laughing at him. He's like, ooh. He didn't realize who he was dealing with.
The viewing experience is always a fascinating one because you run this whole gamut of human emotion, the utter joy of Gerda, who's not human. I want to talk about Gerda in a moment because I've got some problems with Gerda Stein that we need to address. To the people who are just in such visible pain. This is the human embodiment of sitting through a South African Cricket World Cup highlights reel or lowlights as may be. And you see people who are just really trying to somehow get through it all.
Some of them are crying while they're running.
They are. And yet you can't help but admire them while you sympathize with them because they're doing something extraordinary that most of us will never be able to do. Were there points on that race where you weren't just thinking, God, this was a bad idea? You were thinking, I'm seriously going to end up needing medical attention here.
So there is a point. There's like a, you've done 42 in your head. And as soon as you see that, because it goes backwards, the numbers go backwards. It's 42Ks to go. It doesn't count down to naught. I mean, it counts down to naught. Then you go, okay, I've done 42 Ks on my legs. And then it says, 40. No, it's not 42. It's 50 Ks to go. Then you're like, can I do another 50? So you talk yourself into it or you talk yourself out of it. I didn't even look at those things. I just mean, I've got to do this. I don't.
You're going too fast. You couldn't see.
Yeah, it's not about dividing it up into 10-kilometer things. It's just I have to do 86 kilometers. I don't have a choice. And guess what? So does Gerda. So we're just going. And the weird thing is when you're passing through just before Drummond, you can hear the guys talking about her. Like, she's already won. And you're going,
I've still got 5 hours to go.
More than twice your speed. So the mind thing, I think I hypnotized myself because you've got the steps. You can hear your steps going. And I just said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Just get it done. And it is. It comes down to that. Like, why did you enter this? To not finish it. Then I just start going. And it is a hypnosis trick that maybe I didn't even know I had. But your mind, you start questioning things, man. Something popped up in my head. I was in a nativity play in 1976 as one of the wise men.
There's typecasting for you.
No, but think about that memory. Where did that come from? So your body's accessing all sorts of things. And if you know anything about your brain in any conditions, hot or cold, it starts shutting down, going, why are we dying? So it shuts down certain parts of your body and goes, you need to stop doing this. So it just pumps your heart to the basic parts. That's why your feet get sore. You lose a lot of blood. So your brain's going, Dave, you can't do this. And I'm like, hey, I was a wise man in a nativity play. We can do this.
I have not and never will do anything quite like the Comrades. But I do remember having been
didn't
given...
Didn't you do Epic on the back of a bike or on the front of a bike?
I've done them on motorbikes, which helicopter. Is far easier. But I have done a cycle from Paris to London, as I have London to Paris. And I remember the one from Paris to London where Ron Rutland, who's a horrible and dishonest person, had assured me that if I did take part, it was 20 kilometers a day for 2 days, as somebody who'd only ever ridden 11 and a half kilometers on one training ride with David Higgs. And the first day of our ride out of Paris turned out to be 117 kilometers, except it was 127 for me because I got lost. And I remember on the second day getting into a wet and windswept Brighton ahead of the 2015 Rugby World Cup kicking off, the famous Springbok game, which was famously described in the article in The Telegraph about Ron Rutland, who had cycled from Cape Town to Brighton to get there. South African man rides 30,000 kilometers to watch box lose to Japan. It was a world-class headline. But we were getting into Brighton. It was raining, pelting, hitting us. We'd been out on the bikes for hours and hours again, feeling wretched. And we had to go up one final concrete climb. And at the very top of it, there was a guy in front of me who stopped, and I hit the back of his bike and fell off. And I got back on the bike and rode back down because I wanted to be able to say to myself, I have ridden every single kilometer of this wretched ride from Paris to Brighton. And I think there's a stubbornness that is inherent in some people where it's not for anybody else. It's just for yourself. I am going to do this and nothing is going to stop me.
So can you imagine that there's life and there's these things? So there's so many things in there that are like life. You sometimes got to dig deep because you know you're going to finish something. And then people around you go, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? But you dig deep. That dig deep thing is crazy because how much knowledge do you have? So if someone digs deep and there's nothing there. So I dug deep and I had voices in my head, maybe my grandfather, maybe even just for my son, because he sent me a message the night before and he said, Dad, I believe in you. I don't doubt you. This is, you know, he's 17. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to do this for him now.
Lovely of him and absolutely horrible because the guilt trip that's putting on you if you don't finish.
I don't doubt you. So I'm like, So now when you're running, you just think, okay, maybe let me just finish the race. Even if I do it in 12 hours, 10 minutes. And then you're like, what the hell? There's a whole lot of people and they follow you on that app. So some of it is inspirational because you've got these people that you don't let it down. But the other one is they're not running. It's just you. So like you going down to the bottom of the hill going, I wanted to finish all these hills. That in April or just before April, May, I did a 50-kilometer race in Cape Town, in the Southeaster, in Gordon's Bay. The rain was coming so hard, it felt like nails in my face. So that was a 50K. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And after 6 hours, 30 or something, and I'm like, okay, I can do it. My feet were sore, my body was sore, but I had the medal and I'm like, okay. 50 I've got. So I just need another 37. It's all maths. It's all maths, my friend. So the digging deep is huge. And I would say to someone, if you've got the mind to do it, it'll be easier. It just will be easier. Because then I started running with a bit of a pep in my step. I'm like, okay, hang on, I can't let Jude down. He's literally cursed me by saying, I believe in you. I never doubted you from the beginning. But also, he lived with me. So he saw me training. I'd put my tackies on in the morning, take him to school, and I'd say, I'll drop you at school, and then I'm going for a run. Then I pick him up at school at like 4, aftercare, whatever. He goes, how was your run, Dad? And I'm in my same clothes from the morning. I said, nah, I didn't run. And then he says, stop the car. Take me back to school, go do 10Ks, and you can fetch me afterwards. And I'd take him back to school and run around Kailami, and then I'd fetch him from school. And he's like, okay, so now you've done your 10K, let's go have supper. So he was a strict coach.
Disciplining his dad to get all this
But he spotted. You can see when someone hasn't run. They're not sweating. The same hairstyle they had in the morning. So he was a big inspiration. And then the rest of it is like you say, it's you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing it for anyone else. I want to do this. I refuse to have that feeling of crossing. You know, have you seen that? Have you seen that thing on TV? 60% of us are in that zone. That's 10 to 12, 60% of that field. So when you're coming back there, you see a bunch of people and you're like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And I did not want to be interviewed by Gerald de Kock or whoever. So how did you feel? Did you know you weren't going to make it? I would stab him. So that was inspirational. And then my kid, and then just digging deep and finding your inner wise man from 1976 Nativity Play. That's my advice.
I'm picturing you dropping kids off at school and not going running in your athletics gear. I look at the car park of my children. There are plenty of people who arrive in athletic gear with no intention of doing any sort of exercise. I also love the fact that you were being followed on apps and it wasn't landlords and the
hope
like.
For a change.
It was actually people
not lawyers.
Cheering you on.
So people, I had my phone with me, but my phone went off after like 10Ks. But the people said, come on, Dave, run faster. And they're like, I only have to run at 8 minutes a K, which will get you 11 hours 30. And I only had this. This is a yoga watch. Also, get a nice watch. This doesn't do anything. It's thinking, this guy's doing some crazy yoga. So I literally was looking at the time. It's 8:30. I need to be there. And then because there's no signboards for comrades, it doesn't tell you where you are. So I was running, where am I? So the chick goes, "You're in Pinetown." I'm like, "Chris, that shit town, move." One thing you realize, when you're driving somewhere, you'll see a town, Genadendal, Peniel. When you drive through to Durban, you see Pinetown. When you're running, Pinetown, ladies and gentlemen, is the biggest city in the world. Did you know this? You start and you're running, you're like, "Okay, well, that's been at least 20 Ks. Where am I?" "You're still in Pinetown." What a horrible place.
Right. So then today's episode is brought to you by the Pinetown Tourism Authority.
The Chamber of Commerce. I did shout at people, like, because I was angry. And they're like, where am I? "You're on Bertha's Hill." I'm like, "This is a shit place. Sell your property." But it's all the Kersney boys. Standing there.
Clapping politely and cheering.
And the one guy sweeping. Because there's all those plastic packets, because they're just their schoolboys. And I said, "Jeepers, are you head prefect?" He goes, "Yeah, I am." I'm like, the head prefect was sweeping the streets. I'm like, "You're going to go far." And I said to him, "Stay in school, don't do drugs." And these little kids are looking at me.
You got through giving out comedy and inspiration and life advice, and then
Tony
you
Robbins.
Got to the finish. What was that like?
So coming into the town, a fellow Kyle Army person, Noz, her name's Noz, not Noz. Nitrous oxide. She came past me and patted me. She said, "Dave, you're doing well. You've got this." And then she just ran away. But then I saw she came in, we were 1 minute apart. But from a Kyle Army perspective, it's nice to have a club person say, "You're doing okay, you got this." And then you get a lump in your throat because you know from the television, as you come around like that, you go into Scottsville and you've got it. You can walk down that thing. So I took my cap off and I waved at people like I was.
You just scored your first 100 at Lord's.
And I took my cap off and I was waving. No one knew. The lucky thing is you've got your name on your. I mean, I've got it for you here. You've got your name on your race thing. So,
David.
We'll just close up. So people know your name. So while I'm going down the thing, they're going, "Go, David." I'm like, "Yeah, leave me alone, man. I've got this." So the lump in my throat was literally, "Damn. You actually did it."
Yeah.
Because if you want to put me in the group, I knew I was going to do it, but there's that little bit. You've seen me play cricket.
Yes. It's marginally worse than your golf, which is hard to imagine.
So there's that doubt that the first ball could go for six or you're out. So that was, and I was like, "Hang on a minute, I've got this." She said, "Dave, you've got more than half an hour to walk down the main street." So I was waving, but I had a lump in my throat because I wanted to do all those emotions come through, and it's also your brain shutting down, going, "Hey, is this it? Can we please stop?" So your feet are sore. The next day was a bit wobbly, but I did have a lump in my throat. And coming in there, that's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 people. You go into your time there, so it's time one, time two, time three. So already, time number one is close to 12 because that group I'm in group three. So group two they've still got another 5 or 6 minutes, and then group three had a half an hour. So I was like, "I've got this." But you do have a lump in your throat. And then it's quite cow dipping. You go in, they look at they scan you, they scan this thing, they give you a medal. Guy gives you a silver space blanket, a badge, and that's it, buddy.
You're done.
There's no more fame after that. Then you go into this massive field, and then there's just tents of all the running clubs. And I was like, "I need a beer." And in Durban, it gets dark at 5:30. So I'm walking around and I'm hearing the worst thing you can ever hear at ending the comrades is John Walland. I was going to run back to Durban.
John's a big fan of the show. Hello, John.
Hello, John. Sorry.
He sends lots of love.
So yes, John Walland. And then I heard, so I'm walking around up Scott, and then I heard the guy talking, 3, 2, 2. And I'm like, I'm just walking around. Oh. I've got a little Coca-Cola. Then I eventually found my running club and got my beer.
One of the saddest sights in my sporting life as a largely spectator is watching the gun go off at the Absa Cape Epic with the...
Does that happen?
It happens, and seeing a rider 50 yards out and knowing that as the gun has gone off, he was out of the race and
still
could not complete it. And that end of the comrades is brutal, but it's such an important part of the race because it gives so much more meaning to those of you who have managed to get through it, have
fully
managed
personal.
To do it.
That is highly personal. There is a shoot that is a non-medal shoot, but you still get your time because you finish on the app. So you're a finisher, and there's a lot of people going for that. They're like, "I just want to finish the comrades." But you do see people, they look down at Peter Maritzburg, they look down on Peter Maritzburg. And they cut off the road and they're gone. So of the 22,000, 21,500 entered, 18,200 finished. And I came 14,600 and something. So I beat 4,120 people.
But you're a licensed athlete, Taylor Levinson.
Licensed mathematician. But seeing people, it's scary because you see someone lifeless sitting there with a blanket on them and the medics are there and people falling on those cat's eyes. That is hectic. And also you see people, you're like, damn. You go, like different sizes, different people, guys in, obviously the front guys in wheelchairs, but in the beginning there were two of them, but running on a shoulder with a blind guy. So he's holding that guy's shoulder and he's having a go. He's running. So the humanity of it is deep because you go, okay, it's a privilege just to be here. Of the 21,000 people that entered, you're just lucky to just walk across that thing and go, okay, I'm doing this. So there's a lot of life lessons in completing stuff. So my kid says, Dad, you always say to me, do it, then it's done. And he said, now you go and do it and it's done. So I'm like, jeepers, I'm giving out advice to my kid that he actually listened to. And he said, there's so many things that he's learning. He's living in Portugal now. It's like to finish a project, whether it's a Lego thing or just to start something. And just, even if it's shit, just finish it. And then you go, okay.
It's done.
I can do the next thing. Do it and it's done.
I am hugely proud of you. I do have other comrades question for your comrades' journey, which I'll finish off with. I do want to, though, on the comrades go back to Herder, who's clearly half robot and running way too fast. And my feeling is to level up the field and to make this a proper race in the women's competition, that next year we either Herder has to down a beer every 5 kilometres.
She'll do it.
Or she's got to have a full English every 10 kilometres.
A sled.
Or sort of carry Jam Jam on her shoulders from start to finish. We've got to do something because Herder's just too good.
So funny. Hey, you look at George Kusch when he collapsed, and so did the Dutchman, Wilhelm, I don't know. They collapsed. They're down. She gets her thing.
And she starts running around Peter Maritzburg.
She goes back at high fives,
people and cartwheeling.
Makeup's beautiful. So there is a difference. And I can feel it. Like that thing is devastating. I don't care how much training you've done, genetics. Because Bruce Fordyce always said he chose his parents well. He says, I can do something you can't do. But I did read his book. So it's called Winged Messenger. It's about his first comrade, 1977. And he just goes through his journey emotionally. There's nothing in there about training. So I can see Gerda, don't think it's easy for her. She ran on the, I mean, I was watching the highlights. I remember running past that stand, past those people, there's a place called Harrison Flats. There's no one there cheering you on. You cheer you on and your other fellow runners. It's dead quiet. Polly Short says no one. It's a piece of highway. There's not a single person clapping. Even the guy that was like sweeping the tar, he's like, check these, man. But she runs the same distance as me. She does the same thing. So you feel part of what she's done. But that is superhuman.
She's someone who's been on the show before. I am
in this chair.
A huge fan. So you and her are our two top comrade athletes we've had on the show. And she just has the most incredible story. And she is the most wonderful, wonderful athlete.
I'm only 5 hours behind her.
I think that was her major motivation this year. People were telling her, David Levinson is catching you.
He's catching you.
I have to beat him by 6 hours.
There was an athlete with her for literally for 80-90% of the race. And she had done high altitude training, had made up a lot of time. But it's that you've never done it before. So there's just this thing. She goes, no, I've got this. I know how to do this.
It's crazy.
I do want to ask you about somebody you've mentioned once or twice, your coach, your mentor.
Robin Eggington.
No, not Robin Eggington, not our chairman Jude. Of the Aston Villa, Jude. Because I still remember, and this soap opera of a life of Dave Levinson, where I think Jude was about 12 when Bianca's mum had got hold of you and said, no, yeah, we need to do something with this kid. He's off the rails. Let's send him to his unemployed, broke father living in a garage in Johannesburg. And it's turned out to be the most wonderful story because Jude, and I see this through the conversations we have, I see it through the enormously proud social media you put up, has transformed from this very uncertain 12-year-old who could well have continued to go off the rails into this really impressive young man who's now over in Portugal, who has made a life for himself.
He's got a job.
He's become a really impressive young man, and that's something that I hope you're giving yourself enough credit for.
I do, but I realize that it's the same as the comrades thing. We've just left the start line, so that's the thing with it. It's like just keep going.
Yeah.
With him, there's things that go like he's a small version of you. He's a small version of his mom. He's so much his own person. He walked into a restaurant and said, I want a waiter here. And the guy said, just with that attitude, you've already got the job. So he's earning in euros.
Now supporting his father.
Supporting his dad.
Sending Makuru through to you once a month.
Father's Day, better send something. There's so many things on this thing that I didn't realize. People who don't know about the comrades just don't know. And it's not their fault. The first thing they'll ask you, like, I say, are you doing the comrades? Oh, is it up or down this year? So they kind of have... That's it. But the thing is so well organized, and it has to be. For us as Group 3, the first four water points had no water. But we got an apology literally as an SMS, as you are, like, sorry about that. We figured out that Group 1 had gone through Group 2. There's 20,000 people. But it's so well organized. So I would say that part of it is you never want to have this thing go wrong. But there's so much information and things on here. There's a queue there, which is how far down the alphabet? So my inspiration was to go find people, P's, L's, M's, just to, in my them. Own group. And I did that. Once I found an L, I was like, yes. And then there were brown numbers, which were twos. I just tried to find the anyone with a brown number. I'm like, let me find them. So then
Hang
I'd known,
tails.
I'd made up my 15 minutes, and I was running with group two. And I was like, okay, I got this.
The most unlikely comrades coach yet.
And I had a...
I'm going to ask you to do something, and this will be relevant to those of you who are watching. If you're listening, I'll describe what happens. Can you unzip your top, David?
I know you've been asked to do this many times. I'm not. Like, I don't think it's about the medals. It's not about the medals. It's in my heart. I know I did it. I know I would never run around bragging. So I don't. Oh wait.
You're wearing your medal. Yeah.
What's the chances of that?
And have been ever since you crossed
showered
the line.
In it. Here's the problem. You'll enjoy this. If you sit on the toilet, it kind of dangles in the bowl. But I'm not taking it off.
And the medal?
And on that note.
On that note, I need to ask you the question which you know is coming.
Would
and
I do it again?
Which you have thought. Your friend who told you weren't a real athlete, real runner until you'd done the comrades. There is another school of people who say, well, you're not a real comrades runner until you've done an up and a down.
Back.
So.
That's literally what Leonard said.
Is Leonard going to be able to get into your head again?
So
is there
a
second comrade?
He's in my head.
Yeah.
Leonard is in my head. He's the chairman of the... Oh, I'm on the Kailami Running Club committee. So the man has said, you're not a real... So you're not a real runner until you've done comrade. As I'm drinking my beer, he goes, you're not a real comrade runner until you've done a back-to-back. Leonard, can you just stop? So here's my plan.
Yeah.
He's a number one runner. He runs it in 9 hours. I'm 2 hours behind him. If I do it again, I want to overtake him. I want to pat him on the shoulder and say, have a nice run, Leonard. Just run. Yeah.
You're not a real runner until you've beaten Dave Levinson.
Overtaken Dave Levinson. And I'm not being weird or funny. You know me. I'm stubborn. I'm angry. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to overtake Leonard on one of those hills, maybe Polly Shorts, and just go, thanks for the advice. And then just go. So, yes. Answer is yes. I will definitely try and make something. It's 100th, and I think you get a bigger medal for the 100th. Plus, you get your back-to-back medal. So, and then it's going to be framed. I'm 57 next year.
Well, it's a fabulous 5-cent coin you have there at the moment. It'll be a far bigger one next year when you make it number two.
Well, when I was on the toilet and it was dangling, I said, "It's so small." Now you make the joke.
and the medal. All right. Before this descends any further, David, I am enormously proud of you.
Thank you.
I've always loved you and been inspired by you as a comedian. You have the ability to make anybody laugh. But a few years ago, this was never something I thought would have been on the Dave Levinson horizon. And yet I do say absolutely genuinely, when I saw you were doing it, when I knew you'd put your mind to it, given what I know you've been through over the last decade or two, I said, here's a man, he might not win it, but he's definitely going to finish it.
Is he coming with?
And you duly did. Sadly, I'm busy that weekend. I'm not sure doing what, but I'm definitely busy. But I will find a television wherever I am in the world, and I will watch and I will cheer you on, and I will be as immensely proud next year as I am this year.
Ooh.
And I look forward to watching.
Thanks to Jude, thanks to Robin, and to my negative coach, to Leonard.
Well, well done to all of them. And Herta Steyn, Bruce Fordyce, and Dave Levinson, our trio of comrade stars to have graced the Dan Nicholls Show.
Fordyce, Bruce Fordyce goes, go David! So I'm like, how does he know my name? And it's on your vest.
Oh dear. If you remember those old MWeb ads, get in the box. If you remember comedy at events all over South Africa, the odd cameo in other commercials and TV shows, the great Going Nowhere Slowly, you will know that Dave Levinson is one of our more natural comedians and entertainers in South Africa. But he now has another quite fabulous string to that splendid bow of his, as he can introduce himself to you quite proudly as licensed athlete and comrades finisher on the Dan Nicholls Show. This week, it's David Levinson.
You're listening to the Dan Nicholls Show.